Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad, embarrassing, disgraceful. Those are probably only just a few words that we could use to describe the NHL draft lottery that took place on Friday night, the 26th of June, 2020. Worst possible outcome couldn't have come from the NHL's draft lottery and the plan put in place by the commissioner, Gary Bettman, and the board of directors. It's been a few days. We've had time to cool off, and it's still steaming. We talked about it a few shows back, and the worst possible outcome did, in fact, happen. Welcome back to The Lighter Side. I'm Joe Grammatico. Tom, you had the weekend. What are your thoughts?
Joe, still like a deer in headlights, Joe. Little disappointed. As the weekend moved on, I felt like a deer in headlights that got clipped by a truck, Joe. Disappointing, say the least. Let down. Never been a big fan of Bettman. However, you know, he brought on these outdoor series games and different things like that to promote the game without tampering so much with the flow of the game. But I think he took a few steps back in the credibility department with me with this draft and how they implemented it. Horrible.
They had this. There couldn't have been a worst outcome. It makes the league look like they don't know what they're doing. Of all the major sports markets, with all this time that they had to put something in place, and we talked about it before, the double dipping, bringing in the teams that wouldn't have been in the draft lottery. Now they get to play in the wild card for a chance to go on and play for the Stanley Cup. But if they lose, you're talking, if the Pittsburgh Penguins get upset in that play-in by the Canadiens, Pittsburgh's the ninth best team in the league, and they have an equal chance of getting that number one pick when the second lottery takes place. Just completely goes against everything that the draft lottery was put in place to avoid happening.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, let's just speak about it. When you went on your rant a few shows ago, this was one of the fears that in scenarios you brought up, you were more like Nostradamus. It came to play, and Bettman turned out to be Nostradamus.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm just amazed how this ball sequence system that he used, I'm looking at YouTube. We didn't get to see it on TV, or it probably would have created a bigger fervor of anger with people. But the sequence of numbers, it's like, yeah, come on. I mean, he basically should have put all the teams from 1 to 7 in a hat, you know, the worst 7 teams, let them play out the top 3 if you were going to do these different phases. But I don't know if he's trying to, you know, the set a crescendo here to get people, you know, still interested in the sport. It was almost like a gimmick that failed miserably.
Right. We said the worst thing couldn't have happened, and now it happens. I'm wondering, was this one of their ploys or their gimmicks to get the teams to agree to come back and play? Like, hey, we'll give you a chance, but if you lose, just as a consolation, we're going to throw you into the draft lottery for a chance at the top pick.
I'm not sure, Joe, because, you know, the NHLPA has always been an organization where they've made decisions not so much in their best interest as an organizations, individual organizations. They've always wanted to do right by the game, and that's why it's always, to me, been one of the better of the four majors in that regard, because they never cheapened their league. things like this do that, though. This is like NBA-type stuff, only in a different vein. I mean, NBA players, you got guys like LeBron sitting there orchestrating their own personnel and stuff like that to create super teams and everything. But this is ridiculous. It's like you're basically with this system, as soon as I saw it and saw that it allowed 8 extra teams to get involved in the sweepstakes for the best, can't miss player, right then they should have nixed it. I don't get that. I don't know if they did a vote on this or what. I'm still unclear to me. We were so focused on other aspects with the COVID and just other elements that they were going to have to work on to even get the playoffs off the ground and running. So this kind of, to me, I basically would have waited, Joe. I know you mentioned about scrapping the season and just doing the draft and calling it, and they'd be better off doing that than what we just witnessed.
Yeah, and now, I mean, you're playing these play-in games. You're down 2 games to none in a best of 5. What's to stop you from tanking the game so you got a chance to win?
Right, Joe. It's the whole, and that you made the comment earlier in the show. We implemented a draft lottery to eliminate the tank aspect, and now you're allowing it to happen with possibly teams that are already pretty, a couple players away from maybe a cup run.
Yep.
So it just doesn't make sense. As soon as that came into vogue, man, the best thing they could have did was just say when the season ended, you're basically going to have just go by the align them based on how they finished points percentage wise in the season from 1 to 31, and just stop worrying about it after that and worry about getting the playoffs underway. I think teams would have been okay with that.
Right. And I know Bettman said it several times, there will be a 2020 Stanley Cup champion. But with the way things are going with COVID and the way the numbers are looking, there's a chance they never even play this wild card out unless they want to play the playoffs in 2021.
Then what happens, Joe? What happens if this doesn't get off the ground? Is there a backup plan for that? Do they have a different plan in place? I'm not sure they do legally.
Right.
So I think this is etched in stone, and and there's conditional picks involved in this too. We'll talk about that, probably in the next show or two when we finish our series on the Metropolitan Division, because it does affect the team that we will be talking about, and I'll bring that up. This is a little teaser for people to tune into that show. But it is difficult to stomach, because they basically did this. As I understand it, the drawing lottery included the 7 teams in the playoffs, okay, which is normal.
Right.
Then you have the 8, plus the 8 other teams or placeholders that got into the qualifying playoffs that normally wouldn't. So those were basically teams 17 to 24.
Right.
Okay, that you can understand. It's the other 8 that I don't get. And to throw them in the mix, they should have just been eliminated from the draft lottery, period, and been included in that phase of 16 to 31, which is basically going to be determined on playoff results. They should have expanded that. They should have expanded that right away instead of even going to a phase 2.
Right.
And just had everybody do a phase 1, the top 15 teams, including the 7 lower-seeded qualifier teams. I would have been better off with that. But, go ahead, Joe.
Now, as much as I want, how much I enjoy the prospects and the draft lottery, getting all that underway, there was no reason for them to do the draft lottery when they did. No reason to do it until after the playoffs are over, just like every other year.
I think he did it to just keep people's interest.
Yeah, and in my perspective, I mean, they missed it, by a long shot. Like, why not do it a month ago if you want to keep things relevant or interesting? Like, why wait until now? I guess I don't get it. I don't. Like I said, I didn't. When we first talked about it, I kind of just like passed it by, and then we, you know, kind of took the weekend and we talked about it again, and I brought up the point that this had potential to be a complete disaster, and it turned out to be a complete debacle. You look at it now, you see the draft order, it just says placeholder team. Like, what the hell does that mean? It's so dumb.
Well, Joe, why are all those placeholder teams, why are they even in the mix? There's 14. Did you see how they did that? Have you gotten a chance to view the video on them pulling the numbers?
No.
I don't think they've ever done that before. I believe they just used to, you know, like say Detroit had 18.5% chance. Okay, they had that many different balls in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then Ottawa had their share of balls, and then Anaheim, based on where they stood in the positioning. And then you kind of use those as the odds. Mm-hmm. But for them to throw these sequence, they did basically threw these 14 balls in there. They had this one guy tell this Indian fellow, which is kind of funny because, I don't know, I've not too many Indian players in the game, but he's over there pulling the balls. And basically, there are four sequent numbers. And I guess teams got labeled with these numbers before the pulling of the balls from the system. And I don't know. It's just that's how they designated it. So to me, it didn't make sense. But look at this, though. When they do this second phase now, where picks 9 through 15, the teams mm-hmm. that lose in the first round, the qualifier round, they all have an equal amount.
Yes.
12.5% chance to get the number one pick. And the worst seven teams didn't even have that benefit.
Right. You didn't even have that good of an odds. Other than what? Other than would have been Detroit, Ottawa, and San Jose, those top three, nobody else has that good of odds in the top seven.
And really, only two teams, because San Jose basically traded their pick away. So it was basically Ottawa and Detroit.
Right. Right.
And it's just ridiculous. They didn't even, those were the only two teams that had better odds of getting that pick than these eight qualifier teams that are going to lose in the first round. And I guarantee you, there's going to be a couple upsets in there. So some of these are probably mm-hmm. tier two teams.
Right. Teams that are right on the fringe. Yep.
The breakdown that I gave fans a few shows ago about, you know, you really got like five teams that are legitimate contenders, and then you got those second rung teams that basically with some good breaks, if they stay healthy, which is the norm with every team, but if they get a few calls and, you know, maybe they get a good matchup in their first round, depending on their styles, you know, but those are the teams that are going to benefit, and to get a player of this magnitude, that's not how this draft was supposedly set up. So shame on Bettman for even allowing this thing to happen. You know, you painted it out. You're not, you know, you don't have any legal background or you're not a commissioner or anything, and you figured it out. So why these people couldn't figure it out in a room for 2 months is beyond mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, I don't know what else was there. If this was the way that they could get the teams to play, I'm sure that a lot of the owners had issues with players' health and it affecting future seasons, you know, if there was injuries, which we've talked about, you know, was after coming back after this long layoff, if this was just a carrot that was dangled in front of them, hey, we're going to do this. Because if you think about it, even when they do the regular draft lottery, they put those 15 numbered balls in there. That whole second group, if you add up their odds, they have, you know, there's a better chance that you're going to pull one of those balls than the worst team in the league, than any of those top seven. If you grab in that next rung, I think it works out to like a 20-25% chance that, you know, that 8 through or 9 through 15, that one of their balls would get picked. And it seems to work out that way every year.
And it's
at
amazing.
Least in the top three.
It's amazing because, you know, you got teams that really had bad years. Detroit did not have a fluke bad year. Probably all these teams in here did not have of the worst seven that did not make the playoffs. They need an impact player. to write things. And this, like I said, it depends. You know, we're still going to do, we're still going to get a good player as far as Detroit goes. But I'm feeling the same way, Joe, no matter if this, if Detroit was the worst team or not. It's just a terrible system.
Right.
And it's a black eye for the NHL. It just frustrates me.
Yeah, I've never liked the draft lottery. I don't know why they expanded it to do three drawings instead of just doing the one. I don't know why they've expanded it to allow so many teams into the lottery to get that those first three picks. It doesn't make sense to me. I know that they claim there have been issues in the past with, you know, Buffalo tanking and Arizona being so bad for, you know, for long stretches, but you have to have a better system in place than what they currently do. So where does it go from now? What changes? Because they have to make a change.
Yeah, you went from making a comment about Buffalo tanking, okay? Now what you're doing is you got a system implemented where mid-tier teams that are pretty close to being top-rung teams are allowed to tank now if they so choose.
Right.
So that's a problem. It's, you know, it's, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating, but, you know, they got to get it right. And I guarantee you in the coaches meeting, I guess this off season, whenever that will be, that this is going to be discussed and you will have a different system next year. I guarantee you.
Yeah, there has to be. I mean, if you took, you could go back and look at, you know, the last 10, 15 years, however long the lottery's been implemented, and get an idea based off a win percentage, you know, how many teams are below 400 or 450. And it's probably, you're probably going to average, you know, four or five teams that are that bad every year. Okay, so make a draft lottery with four or five teams, you know, to get that first pick. Then if you want to, you know, auction off that second pick, off, you know, add an extra, you know, rung up to teams that have like a 550 win percentage or something. But there's got to be some sort of a tiered, scaled system, especially if they're going to drop, you know, three balls and give away those three picks, or really auctioning them off. And this isn't the first year that the worst team's gone from first to fourth. It's about the fifth or sixth time that's happened in the last 10, 15 years.
You know, L.A. has jumped up.
Right.
Couple times. So, you know, Lucky Luke is living by his nickname still as a general manager. I mean, he's going to grab a nice player at two. It's going to be interesting to see, aside from the frustration now, Joe, you know, where these teams sit. I think Ottawa can get themselves well in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that pick. The third slot. It's funny how they got San Jose's, you know, pick, and it's a top three. So they made out on that trade. When they traded Carlson, I was disappointed in San Jose for making that move, because they already had Brett Burns in their lineup, and you know, you got two defensemen that get caught up ice quite frequently, and to have that happen in your top two pairings, it's going to be a tall order to overcome. And Ottawa, I think, is going to make out in that, you know, in the long run. They're going to get a player that plays a 200-foot game and, you know, and will allow you to move forward and get a legitimate cup shot. I don't know if Carlson was that player. He needs to be with a certain team that's, you know, got some established stay-home guys back home. I still don't think San Jose is a good fit for him. So you might see him move as well to a team that fits that mold better, that can suit his style better. But I'm not sure what the rest of the draft picks are going to end up like now. What do we have? We got the Kings second. You got Ottawa third, Detroit, Ottawa again, then Anaheim, New Jersey, and Buffalo.
Yes. Yes, yeah, we'll do another show. We'll do a mock draft we'll pick our top eight, because I like to, we'll play around with the draft lottery, and then we can add the other teams whenever that happens. 3 months from now, whenever they do the second draft.
supposed to happen after the playoffs, and Bettman better hope his lucky stars that this season's played, because,
right,
like I said, there's some ramifications that are coming into play with these conditional picks. And, you know, I don't think there was any legal jargon set up, you know, with these picks, you know, in the case of a COVID happening or something.
Mm-hmm.
So unless it's unbeknownst to me, but you know, I think there's going to be some teams. I think Vancouver's involved in it. You know, technically, it involves them making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. So what do you do with that? And they were one of those eight extra teams, Joe, that was thrown in there. So does that still, you know, is it still warranted a legal playoffs season for them? I guess it does.
Yeah, it has to.
And I'll explain that a little bit when we go over New Jersey's situation with their roster in the next year or two. But, yeah, just overall, a big fail for the NHL. And I don't know. It's still hairy, because we still don't know if a season's going to go on, especially with the pandemic, you know, ramping up again, which we kind of mentioned might happen too with the way some of these governors are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more political to me than economic for states. And that's why I think Bettman, this whole system is going to blow up in his face, and it's going to be even more of a black eye, you know.
Yeah, well, let's not beat it too much. We'll
nope.
Let it go for now and move on. But I think the conclusion is the NHL draft lottery is severely flawed. It's trash, and now they're going to have to come up with a new plan moving forward.
Absolutely.
That's it for this one. We'll see you back here next time on the lighter side.